the WEOL Lorraine Palace Theater Spotlight on Oberlin, coming to you from the Main Street Diner. No offense to the diner. We'd probably be better off to sit at the new Union Center for the Arts, because we've had everybody that's in any floor on that building in here. And to kind
have
of,
we had them all?
Well, we did not have the Northern Ohio Youth Orchestra. Aww. I think that's the only
next
one that we didn't get through. Oh, and we didn't have the Mad Factory. So now I'm taking back everything I said. It's a good place to be here at the diner. Jennifer Call, who's the artistic director for Oberlin Choristers, one of those in residence over at the new Union Center. Have you ever done that Fava Gami? Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do know. It's beautiful. I love it. I personally have not. My artistic abilities are in musical artistry and not visual arts.
Then you're in the right occupation there with the Oberlin Choristers as well. How many students are involved in that group?
Well, in any given season, we impact over 500 students. We have outreach programs that bring in students from around the area. We also have our residency choirs that have 200 students in 5 different choirs. We have a pre-K program, 3 to 5 year olds, and we have about a dozen students that participate that throughout the year. So we get to reach out to a lot of singers.
They come by there. Do any of them kind of look at the other disciplines that are happening there and wonder, oh, I'd love to do that, or I'd love to be a part of this?
Sometimes, and we think that's wonderful, because the arts are such an important part of a child's development and part of their creativity and expression, and any venue in the arts is going to be helpful to them. And so we encourage them to be involved in all different areas.
Are you year-round, or is there seasons for you?
We follow the school year, but we also have summer programming, and we have one choir that travels, and we travel during the summer, so that choir has a longer season.
And when you say travel, what are we talking about?
Well, this past summer, we traveled to France and Spain. This next summer, we're traveling to Toronto. The choir has gone in previous years to Australia and New Zealand. They've been to Austria, Germany, Ireland, all around the world.
When you're planning a trip like that, what kind of a performance do you put together for an international tour?
Well, for this past tour specifically, going to France and Spain, we knew we were going to be performing in some amazing historical cathedrals. So we worked on literature that was appropriate for that space. Our first performance was in Chartres Cathedral, right outside Paris in Chartres, France. Beautiful historic cathedral. And so we had almost our entire set as a cappella sacred literature, because that's what was appropriate for that venue. And so with traveling with the students, you get to teach them specific musical styles, the history that goes along with it, the culture that goes along with it, the language, and then you get to go see it and be there in person, and it is amazing.
Who is it that comes to see them in the countries that you go
well
to?
In that particular performance, it was the biggest performance that we had. It was standing room only in the cathedral. It was part of a performing arts series that cathedral sponsors, and we were placed on that by the company that we work with that helps us connect to venues.
Maybe you had something? No? No?
Well,
I was going to...
No, I was going to say we're part of the school year, as you mentioned, so we're kind of in it right now. The holidays are fast approaching, so what do you have lined up in the next couple of weeks, or, you know, really month and a half or so?
Sure. Our first major concert production is at Finney Chapel, and it is on Saturday, December 20th. It is our annual Songs for the Season concert. That concert features our 3 oldest choirs, the oldest singers, most advanced singers, and it is truly a beautiful holiday concert. People come for, as a family tradition, to come to this event. It's a beautiful venue that just lends itself to the gorgeous music that these children can create. There's something magical about children's voices together, something that doesn't happen individually if they're singing solo, or if they're singing Let It Go at the top of their lungs in the living room, which all of our kids do, and we love that about them. But when they sing together, it's absolutely transcendent, and that venue really helps to bring that home, and as an audience member, you get to enjoy that. So that concert is really special. We close with a finale called Night of Silence that goes along with Silent Night. It's very moving. Most of us have tears down our faces as that happens, because it's just so beautiful to hear the audience and choir singing together.
You mentioned how the ages, you have a wide age range. How does one have to try out to become a chorister?
There are different levels based on developmental stages. Obviously, a kindergartner is not going to have experience in auditioning. Hopefully not. That wouldn't be developmentally appropriate. So as singers are young pre-K classes, just the registration class, kindergarten through fourth grade, it's just registering for the choir. Typically, families come to us because their child loves to sing and sings all the time, and they want to support that and foster that with healthy training. Then when they get to fifth grade, they do what's called an evaluation. It's kind of a little step in the process of learning how to audition. And the evaluation is with a group, very positive, supportive. And what we're doing is just hearing where their developmental level is so that we can place them and teach them appropriately. When they get to be seventh graders, then they are eligible to audition for the upper ensembles. That would be the traveling choir Cantera Musica and our SATB ensemble Una Voce Musica. And those two ensembles are audition based, but we help them through that process and learn how to do that.
Do you have a number of kids who stay for the entire process, who maybe come in real young and stay through their high school years?
We do. We call those lifers. And at the final concert of the year that Cantera Musica and Una Voce Musica sing in, we highlight those seniors. We talk about what they've done throughout their time with choristers. And oftentimes you hear the 11, 12, sometimes 13-year members of the ensemble because they really become part of the family when they join us at a young age.
We talked earlier, we had the associate professor of opera from Oberlin College, and Jonathan Field, and he talked about this sort of opera bug. Are there budding opera stars? I mean, because obviously different types of vocal and choirs have a different discipline to it, but do you sort of see that? Is that
absolutely. Jonathan's wonderful, and we get to collaborate with the Oberlin Opera Theater Department whenever there's a need for a children's choir. Some operas call for that, and we are the
go-to
group that
group?
They come to. So we have trained many young singers to perform in operas. When Opera Cleveland was still here, we did that for them as well. So we do foster that within the elements of healthy singing. We don't want young singers learning literature that is not appropriate for their voices. So we teach them the techniques to do it in a healthy manner. And Jonathan is wonderful to work with because he also understands the goal of healthy singing because he wants those young singers to grow into healthy opera singers as adults. So he wants them having healthy habits. And it's been a great collaboration in that way.
So you could have a song that has sort of a warning to it. I mean, don't try singing this song if you're not a quote professional or something like that.
It's tricky because if you don't study vocal development, if you don't study vocal pedagogy, kids can imitate anything. You hear them all the time. So you end up hearing young singers imitating adults, and they sound amazing because the voice is very flexible, but it's not necessarily designed to do that for long periods of time. So there are many examples of those young singers singing opera that aren't singing as adults because they kind of did some damage to themselves.
Oh, interesting to see that, because you mentioned about the imitation, because sometimes you hear something, a young, real young person, and not all alike, but you think, where's that voice coming from? And you're amazed at it. But,
and the voice is amazing, and that's one of the reasons that I love teaching it. You will never know it all about the voice. Every person's voice is unique. Every stage of development is unique to that particular person. So it really is an art to studying vocal development and how to train those young voices, and something we take very seriously and as a heavy responsibility.
So even though you have the same number of singers, each year your choir has sort of a different sound to it.
It absolutely does. Absolutely. And that's exciting and sometimes a little scary when you're trying to select repertoire because you're not entirely sure what the group will sound like together, but that's also part of the magic.
So again, you have the concerts coming up. The big ones, I guess, is the holiday one that you have.
We have one large holiday one, but we also have an exciting one that's going to be at the Lorraine Palace Theater, and that one is Saturday, February 21st. And that one is our showcase of choirs that has all of our choirs, kindergarten through 12th grade. And this year we're celebrating music from the movies. So all of the conductors have picked literature from movies, many that you will recognize, some that you've never heard of, that are just fun and exuberant, and it's going to be an exciting concert.
Do the different choirs have a little bit of friendly competition between them, the orcas?
Or, yes.
You know, or they think, we can do it because, you know, they're the big ones, but we can still show that we are.
Absolutely. And I think that's very healthy. You know, when you have a little bit of a fire under you, you work just a little bit harder. And the young, especially in the showcase of choirs, the youngest choir sees the older singers and the sound that they produce. And they get in their mind, I want to do that. Or they hear, this choir went to France. I want to do that. My son, who is going to be 8 next week, has already started his tour fund to raise his money because he wants to go on tour.
Wow. Do you have a box, a jar? What did he decide?
Well, actually, Choristers helps with that. There are different fundraisers throughout the year.
Or is this internet kind of a thing? One of those kind of things. Where people...
Well, we'll see if you get an email from him.
How about that?
Well, there is an expense, obviously, behind that, too, and that sort of shows the support that you're getting from the families of these kids.
Absolutely.
Too.
The families understand the importance of this educational opportunity, but we offer plenty of fundraising opportunities, and there are very generous people outside of our singers' families who really value this experience, and they donate, just open up their checkbooks and donate, because they know it's an immense expense, but the return on the investment for our society is huge.
Your day like today, what's going to happen for you for the rest of the day?
Oh my goodness. Well, today I am charged with creating some arrangements of some music for our youngest singers, because again, we feel very strongly that the vocal development is appropriate for them, and sometimes arrangements that are out there aren't exactly right for our young singers. So I get to spend the day at the computer writing arrangements.
Rearranging arrangements, I guess, is what it would
be called. Yep, exactly.
Well, that's great. I appreciate your time this morning, Jennifer Call, Artistic Director, Oberlin Choristers. Thanks for coming in, and we look forward to hearing the voices throughout the year.
Absolutely. Thank you for having us.